Let's jump right in because some of you guys need to hear this. It is it's a fun one. I posted on my story, but a lot more people check out the podcast via YouTube and even more on the audio side, wherever you get your podcasts. So I got to run through this again because, I mean, what a reaction I got to this. I mean, I'll tell you, summarize the DMs because I normally like to do a 20-minute episode or shorter. And to read all of the DMs would be, it would be amazing to read, but it would take too long. Anyway, it's really, really funny. So if you haven't seen my story yet, it might still be on there. But I'm gonna try to do. I've done this with you guys. It's like a rug pull. I've done it so many times on my podcast. You know, here where I'll start talking about something, and I'm leading you down a path. It's sort of one of these little lawyer tricks that we do, and then you're like, you know, eye opening. And you know, the NBA season is done, so I put this, you know, great post on here about the NBA season being done. Everybody's buying cards, everybody's waiting for all these, you know, Wembys to come out and all this other fun stuff. I didn't mention, you know, Wemby, but I posted it and I said, well, what an amazing rookie season he had. Truly played like something not from this planet, an alien. Of course you're buying his cards, you know, and I even have like music. Can we get an encore? I mean, is there going to be a second season of his where it's going to be, and you know, what a rookie year in the NBA, a rookie averaging over 21 points, over 10 rebounds, and nearly 4 assists per game. You have to be buying his cards, right? And you know, you switch forward. If only he stayed healthy and played all 82 games, then he would have been an all-star. So you've got 3 slides here, an amazing rookie season, played like out of his mind, 21 points, 10 rebounds, nearly 4 assists per game. Imagine he would have stayed healthy enough. They would have made him an all-star if he played all 82 games. And the next slide, not only would he have been an all-star, but he would have also been Blake Griffin. And you go through, Blake Griffin averaged more points, 22.5 to Wemby's 21 and change, 12-plus rebounds to Wemby's 11, and basically 3.8 assists, 3.9 assists. They were basically the same on that. But he played all 82 games. I think he played like 38 minutes a game. I mean, very healthy he stayed that rookie year, right? I mean, healthy, not exactly something you think of when you think of Blake Griffin. But he played 82 games, and he rookie of the year and was an all-star. Wemby wasn't an all-star. So if you just take a snapshot now, snapshot then, Blake Griffin had a better rookie year, was more durable, played all the games, and won an all-star. I mean, you know, was an all-star, won rookie of the year and was an all-star. And I said, hey, did you think I was talking about Wemby? Of course you did. I mean, that's why I do this stuff. And then talked about how Blake Griffin's most expensive card sold for less than $40,000. And Wemby's had multiple cards sell for that in the last couple of weeks, right? I don't do this because I want to lose 24 followers, which I've lost in the last 24 hours, most likely because of this. I don't do this because I want to poke Wemby the player. I think Wemby's going to be a fantastic player. He already had one of those rookie years where it's like you have to open your eyes. You have to say, all right, he got better as the season went on. He improved his game as the season went on. He started to actually get a little bulkier, it looks like, which you hope as he gets a little older and, you know, it's the way it's like he'll be able to maintain the frame and build on the frame because, you know, if Embiid actually plays and Giannis actually plays and some of these other big guys who are coming into the league play, Wemby still has the kind of frame that you can kind of get a little pushed around with. But I'm going to give that he's going to get better. The DMs that I got yesterday were amazing. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to get to the point that I'm making here, right? Because a lot of people got very angry. The point that I'm making is not cards are going down. There are cards that will never go down. I own a ton of them. Most of them are not modern. I'm buying cards. I'm buying autographs. I'm buying type ones. I love the space. That's not it. The point is, I want you to close your eyes for a second. And whatever sport you like collecting, whatever the sport is, I want you to think about the top guy during his rookie year or right after that rookie year came to conclusion. I want you to think about who that was. Think about it in basketball, whether it's Zion and Ja, LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham. I don't even remember who last year's guys were. Honestly, I don't even remember. You know, who's between Cade and I don't even remember. But that's the point. Like, we're talking about all these guys. At the end of Cade's year, oh, wow, what a great year he had. You know, let's buy some Flawless 2 years later and get his rookie cards. Which one of those guys' cards aren't anywhere near as valuable as they were during that rookie year? Even Anthony Edwards, right, whose team is in the top of the Western Conference, and he has that same type of potential. You know, he's exciting. He has the posterized dunks. He's improved. You know, he looks like he's got the talent to really be that, you know, that top kind of player. Are his cards worth anywhere near what they were worth that rookie season? No, they're not. And that's because of a recency bias. It's because of a hype cycle. It's because of exactly what we do, right? Right now, whether you like it or not, the space that we operate in is built on hype. It's built on breaking. It's built on getting gamblers into the casino. And sure, there are some that go into the back and play games like Baccarat and poker. But there are other ones who are in the fast moving, let's gamble, let's get on, let's get the blackjack table going, let's get screaming, let's get the slot machines going. And the slot machines are more like the breaking, the most like breaking than anything else. And for breaking to succeed, for breakers to make money, and for Fanatics to make money, and Panini to make money, for the card manufacturers to make money, the distributors to make money, for all of the names in the hobby you know, the ones that you see, anybody who has a following of more than 20,000 on Instagram, the hype cycle keeps them going and makes them money. Every single one of them. Because anybody who has that kind of a following, anybody, they're either selling wax in their store or online, they're pushing the next cards, they're trying to be a dealer where they're trying to get cards and sell cards for more money of what the next hot prospect is. They're trying to get you to break cards. Now, I want you to go on Fanatics Live. I want you to go on Whatnot. I want you to go on Drip. I want you to go on wherever it is, TikTok. And tell me how many people are opening the product with Anthony Edwards rookie in it. Tell me how many people are opening the LaMelo product. How many are opening a Luka product, a Zion product? How many are opening Fernando Tatis, who's one of the top players in baseball? How many are opening, you know, trying to get Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette? Who's trying to get Yordan Alvarez? You know, who's trying to open anything up? Shohei Ohtani is close, but even he, the prices are pretty static. And him, you know, like it might even be a little less now with all the drama that's going on with him. We'll see how that all shakes out. Football, same thing. Same thing. Which one of the QBs that you bought high is valued now the way that they were? Is it Trevor Lawrence? Is it Mac Jones? Is it Zach Wilson? Who? Is it Justin Herbert? No. And this year it'll be Caleb Williams. And the interesting part is that, whether you want to admit it or not, you can unfollow me all you like, is that in a year, probably less, but in a year, we'll be talking about Cooper Flagg having an amazing March Madness and coming out and declaring for the NBA draft. And everybody who is right now talking about Wemby being this godlike, alien-like talent is going to be talking about Flagg. They just are. I can say this with confidence because it's what happens every single year. And I know this to be a fact because I even in my DMs said to people that giving Wemby all things, giving him health, giving him an improved team, giving him a team that they build around him that gives him rings, he has the ability to become a Hakeem Olajuwon type player, an MVP, a defensive player of the year, a multi-championship winning player. a Tim Duncan type player. Which, by the way, guys, you know, if you put him in the category that I just put him in, you're talking about a top 15 player, borderline top 10 player of all time. Hell, put him in there with Shaq if you have to. Shaq's rookie year destroys what Wemby did. From a hype perspective, even. But the people I was talking to in the DMs, that wasn't enough. Can you believe that? It wasn't enough to compare him to Olajuwon or even Duncan or even Shaq. I was told many, many, many times by people you know, by people with a huge following compared to me, by people you follow, I can guarantee that Wemby will be the GOAT. It is a virtual certainty that he is the GOAT. His skill set is such that he is better than LeBron. He is better than Michael Jordan. Because he can do everything that Shaq did, and in addition, do everything that LeBron and Jordan did, but he can do it better than all of them. Because he can shoot the three and also go inside and play with any big man in the league. It's interesting to have those conversations because if I'm willing to concede him being one of the greatest big men of all time, one of the top players of all time, and still being told that I'm not giving him enough credit, after a rookie year that was not even as good as Blake Griffin's, it's a difficult conversation to have, but I have to take a step back and understand where the folks I'm not arguing with, but where the folks I'm talking with are coming from. These are most likely people who are invested in the hobby or Wemby in some way. Okay? Most likely. And they have every interest in seeing Wemby become the GOAT. But there's a psychology to this, guys. We all want to root for that. We all want that guy to be the guy. We all want to be the ones who get to witness the guy and call the guy and say, this is, I knew it. I saw him from day one and I knew he was going to be the best of all time. I knew it. I knew he was. And I was right. And you want to buy it. You want to buy it early. But because that's the psychology, everybody is there right now. And everybody thinks you got to get in early on Wemby. But unfortunately, the way the hype cycle works now is there is no early on Wemby. There is no early because his prices are too high from the jump. And I submit to you that the prices being paid for his cards now mean that there is likely only one direction for them to go, and that is down when Mr. Flag becomes the flavor of the day. When there is some small crack in the armor, whether it's a knee injury that holds him out for a couple of weeks for Wemby. And I'm not wishing an injury, or maybe it's just after next season, the team still only has a couple of dozen wins and they have four losses for every win. Maybe it's after 3 years, they're still not a 500 team, even though they're building around them. Maybe after 4 years, 5 years, people are going to say, oh, but so is Jordan. You know, I mean, he didn't win for a long time too. Different world. People were not paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for Michael Jordan cards in 1986, 87, 88, 89. They weren't. They just weren't. They weren't there. And there's way more cards out there for you know, different types of cards out there for Wemby now. There are more one-of-ones out there. I mean, you know, millionaire, Monopoly, Bologna, blah, blah. I mean, it just, there's so much stuff, and it just makes it where everything is sort of priced for perfection. And the psychology of it also is this. I attempted this to, you know, to try to, you know, talk to people about this topic from a card pricing perspective and saying, you know, I understand recency bias. And that really is what we're dealing with here, right? And we've talked about this probably on dozens of episodes, the recency bias, and been right about it every single time we talk about this. And it sucks that I have to continue to be this person because, you know, I'd love to be able to tell you this guy's cheap. And be right. We did that every now and again, right? But even that fizzles, right? Even that does, because, you know, nobody can keep it up. You know, someone who comes out of nowhere, you know, can't keep it up. And, you know, there are people who, you know, if I were able to, I would say, okay, well, what about Jokic? His prices have gone up. Yeah, but he had no hype at all. The dude was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial in the second round. You know, no one wanted his cards, didn't even make cards of him. And you got to remember that when you use that as your argument, you're actually making my argument for me. There was no hype cycle for him. He was not a number one draft pick who was priced for perfection from the beginning. He was priced to do nothing. And since he has overcome that and done so much, the people who were early on him, who were able to be early on him because nobody else was on him, are actually being rewarded for buying his cards now. That is the exact opposite of what's happening with a Wemby or what happened with a LaMelo or Edwards or Zion or any of these guys. Damn it, look at your Trae Young cards, guys. And then look at his numbers. He's fantastic. You got to hurt to see it too. But the point on that recency bias is this. I tried to reason with probably the person with the most followers. It was a name everybody listening to this knows. And I said, I'm a little older than you. I said, I got to witness the tail end of the careers of Dr. J and Kareem. I watched all of the careers. I was very young for the beginning, but basically alive and watching basketball for almost all the careers of Magic and Bird. I saw Jordan's entire career up close and personal as a Knicks fan, watching him just destroy Patrick Ewing's chances of ever winning a championship. I saw all of Kobe. I saw all of LeBron. I've seen all of Shaq. I've seen all of these guys. And of course, my dad thought Dr. J was the greatest, and I'll think Michael Jordan's the greatest, and the kids who came after will think LeBron or Kobe are the greatest, and Steph is awesome. And the hobby youngsters now need their guy. And this year it's Wemby. And this person sort of understood what I was saying about, you know, the greats that came before, but think of the names I just threw out there, and this person's still telling me that Wemby is going to be better than all of them. And the way that I end the conversation with them is, I hope you're right. I have no reason to root against Wemby as the greatest player of all time. I would love to be able to spend the next 20 years watching him chase down greatness. We all love to be able to witness that. I am the opposite of a hater. I have no vested rooting interest in San Antonio or Wemby himself. But it is fun to have a dynasty. I talk about Mahomes being overrated from a card perspective. I hate rooting for him because I'm a Raider fan. He's in my division. That's a little different for me, guys. He specifically is like right there against my team. I don't have such a thing there with San Antonio. As a matter of fact, I'm a big Devontae Graham fan. Big win. You got a big win at the end there, Devontae. Nice last-minute buzzer beater. But the point I make is, you know, we like to root for champs. I'm going to root for Mahomes to pass Tom Brady because it's a good story. I hope he wins 10 championships. I do. I hope Wemby wins a lot of championships and becomes the GOAT. The difficult part is when you do an analysis, the potential upside versus downside risk on cards for Wemby at the price they're at now means it's something that I would stay away from. That's really my entire analysis, and I try to point that out by saying that there have been people in the position that Wemby is in now. And even if everything breaks right for Wemby, the prices are already there. The prices are already at what I would expect them to be at. And remember that anybody really arguing against that probably has a vested interest in you thinking otherwise, probably has a vested interest in you wanting to open more product. And I would take note of the people telling you that Wemby is the GOAT now, and fast forward a year when the next year's product comes out and see who they're telling you is going to be the GOAT then. Because they probably were telling you about how great LaMelo was and how what a unicorn he was, that he can score 20-something points per game and is the best passer out there, and how Edwards is the next Jordan. It's Michael Jordan's illegitimate son. And how Cade Cunningham is flying under the radar because he's in Detroit, but damn, that team's going to be great, and he's awesome. And Paolo Banchero, I remember it now. He's basically LeBron, but better and bigger and younger and more awesome. It's an interesting thing to watch. Just keep it in mind. I conversed with a Spurs fan who put it correctly. When I told him, I said, listen, you're being reasonable about your conversation about Wemby. You haven't yet told me that he's better than Michael Jordan. And his response to me was, that's putting the cart slightly before the horse. For me, I'm waiting to buy Wemby for three reasons. This is me. This is a very smart collector. I'm reading the DM. Number one, and I believe this to be the most important, the hype will wear off. Very smart. Understanding the psychology of others in the space, realizing that that hype will wear off. There'll be some other shiny new toy. And when that happens, prices will come down. Number two, I want to see if he can stay healthy for 3 years. Takes my Blake Griffin argument right off the table, right? Because the obvious difference between Blake Griffin, the end of 2009-2010 season, and Wemby now is what happened to Griffin after. Wemby doesn't have that yet. But this person smartly wants to make sure that Wemby is on the right trajectory, that with his frame, he's able to stay healthy. With his frame, he's able to build up, maybe bulk up a little bit, and withstand the rigorous journey of an 82-game season and hopefully some playoffs. And number three, from a PC standpoint, remember I said there's a Spurs fan. He says that he's worried that he'll leave the Spurs, which impacts his collection because he's a Spurs fan. And it also impacts, you know, the legacy of players. One and two are really important. Make sure that he's on more than just 1 year. Make sure that it's something that's sustained. And number one, let that hype cycle wear off. It all makes sense. It's all valid. I am not coming here and shitting on cards. I'm not coming here and even shitting on Wemby. I'm not coming here and shitting on anything. I try to open eyes. I try to make sure you see the conversations that I'm having with people. Some I consider delusional, but they think I'm wrong. They, as wrong as I think they are, they think I'm that wrong. And that's interesting to see, right? It's that type of commitment that's making these cards go up to where they are now. And unfortunately, when things are priced to perfection, more often than not, perfection doesn't happen, and that causes the price to go down. And if you are a long-term believer in Wemby, when those prices go down is probably the time to jump in on his cards. That's it. That's the whole deal, guys. To the 26 of you as of right now in the last 24 hours who have unfollowed me because you don't like how I rug-pulled you there and made you think I was talking about how great Wemby's rookie season was, but I was actually talking about a better rookie year had by Blake Griffin, I apologize. But my goal here is more for you than anyone else because the 26 of you who have unfollowed me are probably very heavily invested in Wemby for one reason or another. Might have paid too much for one of his cards. Be careful. Maybe I've convinced you to not buy a second one. The rest of you are probably breakers who don't like what I'm saying because it doesn't help you push the most modern cards with the hype cycle. It is what it is, guys. This is the hobby. Just wanted to come on and chat today because, man, did I have some DMs. I'll talk to you guys soon. I hope you enjoyed this. We will talk in a couple days. Take care, everybody.